Alcoholics Anonymous. He's a very good friend of mine. He's done a lot to my sobriety. So will you please help me welcome Wesley P. from Pompano Beach.
Hi, everybody. My name is Wesley Parrish, and I'm an alcoholic. Let's give Cease another big hand, because he deserves it. Thanks for bringing that message to my friends, Cease. Well, you know, for the last 2 years, I miss this Lakeland trip on every year. I won the first year. I had a heart attack up in Cease's hometown. He drove me to a heart attack. When you get up there, you never get through. And then last year, I had a case of flu, and I couldn't come over. And you don't know just how happy I am to be here, because I love you people, and you're my kind of people. And I want to tell you about this program of Alcoholics Anonymous and what it's done for me. I want to share with you, because I care about you. Sharing and caring is the name of this game. And you know, Cesar gave us a beautiful interpretation of the 12 steps. And he carried you right through his life, and how he found and how he worked the 12 steps. And it reminds me of Bill W., before I get in my talk. You know, when Bill had his spiritual experience, it scared him to death. And the next day, Abby came in and gave him a book called Variety of Religious Experiences by William James. And Abby told Bill to read it. And Bill couldn't get interested in the book because it was too heavy for him. But finally he realized that this book was trying to tell him what had happened to him the day before. And he got so excited about the book, he just consumed the book. He knew what every word meant in the book. And this book came up with a meaning that Bill understood, a definition of what he had had the day before. He had had a spiritual experience in the most minute measure of time. And this book went on to tell him what a spiritual experience was. And it was deflation at depth. Deflation at depth. Now, this is a little cliche that's not heard too much about in AA. But the 12 steps are so designed. When Bill Wilson wrote them, he so designed these 12 steps, where if you go through them in the sequence that Cease brought to you tonight, well, you go through a process of deflation at depth. In other words, you're getting rid of your greatest enemy, and that's self, S-E-L-F. And that's what the AA program is all about. They say this is an inside job. Well, the inside job is getting rid of self, S-E-L-F. You can blame your alcoholism on everything in the world, but it's not one thing that caused it, and that was alcohol. And the reason alcohol caused it is because you drank alcohol for the effects of alcohol, and that's all it took in your life. Most alcoholics, I find that to be true. You just like what alcohol did for you. Does anybody disagree with that? And so therefore, the whole entire program of Alcoholics Anonymous is based upon deflation at depth. Getting rid of the ego, edging, ego, E-G-O, means edging God out, easing God out. When you have ego, when you get to be the big shot, the big eye, you edge God out of your life. Well, the more that you deplete or deflate yourself, the more you let God in. And the first thing that Bill did to start this thing off with, let me say this, both co-founders were blessed with the same thing. Now, the reason I know that is this little book here called AA, As Bill Sees It, on page 212 it says, Dr. Bob did not need me for his spiritual instructions. He had already had more than I. What he did need when we first met was deflation at depth and the understanding that only one drunk can give to another. You see, Bill and Dr. Bob both had ego. And until they eliminated that, they themselves had this phenomenal craving for alcohol. And the more that you deflate, the more you get away from self, well, the less you will be bothered with alcoholism, the ism. In other words, that's why when we talk about the 12 steps, the first half of the 12 steps is only, the first half of the first step is the only time you ever see alcohol mentioned in the 12 steps. The rest of it is on the ism, I-S-M, and that's self. So what Cease told me tonight as I sit in that chair was that Bill told him that in the 12 steps, or his friend Ernie told him that he was powerless over alcohol. And Cease says he was. And so therefore he started the deflation. Because who ever heard of telling a drunk that he was powerless over anything? It's unheard of. All your life, when somebody told you that you were powerless over something, well, you just show them, by God, you weren't powerless over it. You just get drunk, that's all. Well, then he says your life is unmanageable. Well, those two statements are completely deflating. And then he said you are insane because he says you have to be restored to sanity. Well, if you have to be restored to sanity, where do you come from? You come from insanity. Have to. That's deflation. Then he tells you that you made a decision to turn your life and your will over the care of God if you understand him. That's you telling God that your way is the wrong way. That you cannot run your own life. And if you're going to have what these other people have in Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to make a complete change. You've got to do God's will, not your will. Because your way has got you in all this mess. Now, can anybody in here say to me that the first drink of alcohol that you took, you said to yourself, well, now I would like to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm going to drink this alcohol until I become qualified to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Did anybody do that? You couldn't help yourself. You couldn't help yourself. You are totally... You see, alcoholism, in my opinion, and all these are my opinion, these are my interpretations of the program, no one else's, and what these four books tell me, Alcoholics Anonymous, 12 and 12, AA comes of age and his bill sees it, tells me that alcoholism is a self-inflicted disease. Now the big book calls it a self-imposed disease. I don't see no difference in being a self-inflicted and self-imposed. To me, it sounds the same. And so the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is a self-imposed program. No one can make you impose into you the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. You have to do it yourself. The simple ABC says, A, that we're alcoholic and we cannot manage our own lives. B, that probably no human being can relieve us of our alcoholism. I don't care what your group does. I don't care what Cease says. I don't care what your mother says, or your father says, or your children says, or your minister says, or your church says, or whatever it might be in your life. No one can relieve you of your alcoholism. No human being. That's what the program says. It says these are three pertinent ideas. But it says in C, it says that God could, a definite promise, God could and would if he was sought. And this is what this program is all about, is you seeking God and placing God into your own individual life, which no one else can do for you but yourself. And to do this, you have to get rid of self. You've got to get away from selfishness, self-centeredness, because that's the root of all of our troubles. Instead of being self-reliant, you've got to be God-reliant. And this is what the big book says it's all about. This is what the big book is all about, is teach you how to do this. That is the first 164 pages. And that's why you never hear an AA member that's been in AA any length of time and enjoyed the sobriety and fruits of this program without them telling you that the answer lies right in here, the first 164 pages. Because this is the truth. This is the truth. Well, that's deflation when you tell God that your way is the wrong way and you've got to do His way, right? And then you've got to make a searching and fearless moral inventory. For the first time in your life, you've got to look at yourself exactly the way you are, not the way that you pretend to be. All my life I pretended to be something that I wasn't. That's deflation. And the next thing you have to do is to admit to yourself, to God and another human being, the exact nature of your wrongs. That's deflation. Anybody disagree with this? Next thing you have to do is ask God to become willing to God to remove all your defects of character, your sins of commission. Things that you do every day that you know that you shouldn't do. And the next thing you have to do is humbly ask Him to remove your shortcomings, your sins of omission, not doing the things you know that you should do every day. That's all deflation. And the next thing you have to do is to make amends. Make a list of people that you've harmed and become willing to make amends to them. That's deflation. This is all an inside job. And then after that, you have to take other people into consideration. If you're going to harm anybody about making these amends, you have to take them into consideration. You don't be a bull in a china closet anymore. And that's deflation. You got to get rid of self. And then after you've done all this, it says you continue to take a personal inventory. Not somebody else's inventory, but your inventory. And when you're wrong, promptly admit it. That's deflation. And then it says you'll never have a perfect contact with God. That through prayer and meditation, you have to listen and talk to God every day. And ask Him for His will, not your will. And the power to carry that out, because your will is wrong. God's will is right. And then, after you have done this, it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps. What steps? The previous level. You have received a God conscience. You have received a personality change. You have changed 180 degrees. And then you have a story to carry, and you try to carry this message to the alcoholics. It doesn't say that you have to go out and beat somebody over the head with it. It says you try. That's all. Just try. And to practice these principles in all your affairs. Well, you know that a word, affairs. Did you ever stop to think? Did you ever have an affair by yourself? It wasn't much fun, was it? Huh? Well, it's no part of the 12 steps. I mean, I'm just bringing this out. It's some funny why he put that word affairs there. You know that? It must have meant that he's going to bring something else in our lives. Something outside of us. Well, the 12 steps is entirely for me. For an inside job. Right? For this deflation. All right. Now, I'm sober. And in good graces of AA, I'm making the epitome here. What have I done? I started off in a state of bondage. I was living to drink and drinking to live. I was addicted to alcohol. I was in bondage. I was a slave to alcohol. And from the bondage, I got into the program, and I received faith that this program would work for me. And from faith, I received courage. Because courage is without fear. And I started trusting God, and I got courage. Because I had to have courage to take the fourth step, because it says fearless, and the word fearless means without fear. Courage to look at myself like I was. And from this courage, I had the courage to sit down and write out the fourth step. And to take the fifth step immediately thereafter. And I had the courage to look at the house cleaning steps. I had courage to do those. And through these house cleaning steps, I got free. I got the freedom of living. If anyone should know what freedom is, is an alcoholic that is free of his old self, the old stinking, drinking, thinking. I got freedom. And from this freedom, what did I get? I got abundance. I got the spiritual abundance, and I got material abundance. Because I became part of the universe. I became part of the world. My pockets jingled. I had money in the bank. I had two cars in the garage. I'd built a new car. I had a new business. And everybody wanted to do business with me because I was honest. I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wasn't a grouch. I did what I said I was going to do because the program had taught me that. I was in the epitome of life with a spiritual abundance, and God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. Have you ever been in that position? Well, I'm 12 years in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, you would think that would be enough, would it not? But you know, the human mind is like a garden. If you don't keep that hole in your hand, it's going to get full of weeds. And those weeds are the negative thoughts. That old drinking thinking can drop right into you just as fast as it lets you. And you know what I started to think about one day? My retirement plan. I wasn't satisfied with what God was doing. I wasn't trusting God anymore. I said, well, here I am. I've educated my two children. I've got rid of that. Now I've done a good job there. I started taking credit. I sent them through college. My wife and I didn't have any college education, but I did for them what I didn't have an opportunity to do myself. I was taking credit for it. My business has been good. And I've spent a lot of time with Alcoholics Anonymous. But I just haven't done nothing about Wesley Parrish's retirement plan. Now, that's a simple way of thinking, isn't it? Well, you see, I had stopped growing when I had had a spiritual awakening. I had stopped growing. I thought that was all necessary for me, just attend meetings and be part of Alcoholics Anonymous and make it through 12-step calls. And I forgot about this inside job. And these weeds started growing inside. I didn't realize that I had to have more to fulfill my life and keep this bag of this deflation going in my life. Because once that you start deflating, you start inflating. I didn't know that the 12 traditions were the continuation of the 12 steps in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is in three parts. When you tell me that you are a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would assume, and you are living the program of AA, I would assume that you are living the 12 steps. I assume that you're living in unity. I assume that you are rendering service to your fellow man. That is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Recovery, unity, and service. That's it. And this is what these four books here, these four basic textbooks of Alcoholics Anonymous teach us about. It's recovery, that's number one, that's the foundation, unity, and service. And I didn't know this. And so, therefore, I started getting squirrely. I started thinking about, well, you know, I'm really doing too much for Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know why I've spent as much time as I have with it and denied the things that I know that's important to me. Getting taken back over again. Not being satisfied with what God's doing for me. When He's doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I started working on this and thinking about this retirement plan, what I was going to do. Oh, it could be 100 other things, but I'm just using the retirement plan just for an example. And you know, all of a sudden, the old devil took over. You know, we talk about the higher power in this program, but what about this lower power? We have a lower power in AA, too. Don't you ever kid yourself. I was his best second lieutenant. And I run off and left him, and he'd been trying for years to try to get me back. Well, he saw the opportunity, and so he got up there and he started talking to me, and he said, "Wesley, you're right. I got you need a good retirement plan. You just ain't gonna make it on Social Security, and deflation's coming along, and I got you're gonna starve to death. And you don't have nothing to go on." And I got thinking about this. And one day the telephone rang. And this man says to me, he says, "Wesley, I'm going to be home tonight." It was Wednesday night, and my group met on Wednesday night. And he says, "Tonight is my night at home, and I want air conditioned my house. You come on out here, and let's see what we're going to do about it." Knowing good and well that it was meeting night, I said to myself, you know, real fast like, I said, "Well, I'll go out there tonight. I've been wanting to go to this meeting in Fort Lauderdale on Thursday night for a long time, and I just never have had the opportunity." And I said, "I'll make that meeting up tomorrow night down in Fort Lauderdale." So I went out and I went to the meet. I went out and sold the air conditioners. And how sweet it was. It was so sweet that I'd forgot about Thursday night going to Fort Lauderdale. Well, for a whole week, I didn't go to a meeting. And the next Wednesday night, I went back to my meeting. And you know, not one person said one word about me not being to that meeting the night before, or Wednesday before. And I hadn't missed a meeting on Wednesday night in years. And you know what I said? "Well, if that's all I mean to this group, to hell with them." Now, this gives me the opportunity to turn this over to the new member. I'm just going to become an elder statesman. Tally, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to be an elder statesman. And so, I started down the ladder. You see, when you get an abundance of this program, this is when you got to work the hardest. When God is doing for you what you cannot do for yourself, and you're getting abundance of this program, this is where you got to work the hardest, you know, to stay on top. Because it's just absolutely a fact in life. If you're on top, somebody's always trying to knock you off, you know. And so I didn't know this. And so, you see, I got knocked off the top, and I started going down. I started getting complacent. I started getting that quiet pleasure inside of me. Complacency. I look over there and I'd see somebody in my group and I'd say, "Look at that guy dressed up in that $300 suit tonight. I knew him when he didn't have a pair of pants to his name. I had to give him a pair. Wear Snickers. Look at his wife. My God, what a hag she was when he first came in there." If it hadn't been for me, he'd have never made it. Oh, and I just look all around, and I was just quiet pleasure inside. I was just eating it up, you know. I started playing God all over again. You know? I didn't stop there. I went to the complacency, and then I went to apathy. I became indifferent. I saw that they didn't need me around now. And I didn't know why I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous anyway. I doubted whether I was an alcoholic. I thought I'd just wasted my time around anyway. You know? I said, "I'll come around once a month and get busy on my retirement plan. I'll come around once a month and I'll sit down on the back row. And if the newcomer wants a few pearls of wisdom, I'll stay there 5 or 10 minutes and let him have it." You know? And I kept that up for a month or two, and then I went to the worst part of it all. I went to dependency. I started depending upon me. Oh, that's the worst thing an alcoholic can do. You know, I turned my life and my will over to the care of God because my way was the wrong way. And here I was wanting some more of that wrong way. And so therefore, I took my life over again. I started depending upon me. I forgot about my wife, I forgot about my family, I forgot about my sponsor, I forgot about my group, I forgot about my God, I forgot about everything but the big I. I was just completely inflated all over again. I had lost everything that I had gained in Alcoholics Anonymous for 12 years. The big I. And this is just being a human being. I didn't know this. And through the grace of God, I had a good sponsor. And this good sponsor knew it, and he grabbed me up by the bootstraps, and he straightened me out. And he says, Wesley, I don't know what you're going to do, but you better do something. Well, I didn't know what I was going to do. And one day, just by chance, I picked up the grapevine. And I read the front inside cover of the grapevine. There's 12 steps. I read them, and I leafed through. And finally, I got to the back page on the inside, and there was the 12 traditions. And I started reading the 12 traditions. Then I turned back over, and I read the 12 steps. And I said, well, I can't use the 12 traditions in my life because they're written at the group level. And I can't really I can, well, I said, I don't know why I can't use them. I said, the 12 steps are written at the we level in the plural. And I said to myself, what's the difference between we and a group? It's a good question. What's the difference between we and a group? The 12 steps is written at the we level, the group level for the 12th tradition. And I went over to the third tradition in a long form in the big book Alcoholics Anonymous, and it told me that any time that two or three members of Alcoholics Anonymous got together for the purpose of discussing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and they had no other activity besides that they were called a group. So it only takes two to make a group. Well, how many does it take to take we to make we? It takes two, doesn't it? Matter? Well, it takes the same amount to use the 12 steps in the plural as it takes to use the 12 traditions. And I said, well, I never use the 12 traditions at the we level. I use them at the I level. I said, why can't I start using the 12 traditions at the I level? Maybe if I understand the 12 traditions myself and use them, maybe I can transmit those to my group after I learn something about them. And so I said, you know, I think I'll try this. I was just stumbling in the dark. I didn't know. And then I was reading the Eight Comes of Age one day, and I noticed that, well, Bill said that the 12 traditions were the continuation of deflation after the 12 steps. And I started reading the 12 traditions and all about it in these books. And I found out that this was true because I started practicing these 12 traditions in my everyday life. And I started along with the 12 steps, and you'll be amazed what happened to me. It wasn't no time because I was back in Hornets again and a member in good stead in Alcoholics Anonymous, loving everybody. You see, I had only loved Western Earth. The 12 steps taught me two things, to love Wesley Parrish and to love God, that's all. But if I'm going to have a rounded life, I've got to love you. Did you know that? I've got to love my fellow man and live in unity with my fellow man. If I want to be happy, as Cease was talking about tonight. But then I lose it all. I've seen so many members. I hate to say this because this just happened 2 weeks ago. I saw a man that had been a total success in business life and Alcoholics Anonymous for 37 years. I saw him commit suicide. You know why? Because he never tried to live in unity with his fellow man. He just didn't try. And this is part of the AA program. Now, I'm going to go through a few of these 12 traditions and show you how I live them. These are my responsibilities. The first one says, I'm going to read them at the eye level so that I'm not trying to change them, but I'm going to try to get something out of them for me. I still got to do this inside job, you know what I mean? Now, this is why I've been sober 35 years, is that I found these 12 traditions, and hadn't have been those outside people that would beat me to death. But I found how to control those outside people within here. I learned how to not react to their act. and let them destroy me. I can't control what you do. I can only control what I do. And so it says, my common welfare comes first. What is my common welfare? My common welfare is staying sober. I am an alcoholic. I don't care. I'm one drink from a drunk. One's too many and 1,000 is not enough. I need the program of Alcoholics Anonymous more today than I needed it 35 years ago. 35 years ago, I had nothing to lose. Today, I've got everything to lose. Everything. And so this is my common welfare. It's to stay sober. Make it my biggest business every day of my life. This is what Cease was talking about. My personal recovery depends upon my AA unity. My personal recovery depends upon me living in unity with you. Not you living in unity with me. That ain't got nothing to do with it. No. I've got to love you whether you love me or not. What did the great teacher once said? The great teacher once said, what is it to love those who love you? That's nothing. But to love those who hate you is something. Now, if I want to lose what I have gained in Alcoholics Anonymous, the only thing I have to do is to react to your act and try to change you and get in a personality clash with you. And you get in a personality clash with me. Well, at the end of the situation, who's going to be the winner? Both of us are going to be the loser. And so why should I then let you destroy me? Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me because, you see, I'm in this thing for one thing and one thing only. And that's to find a way to live and be happy without alcohol. I was born with a personality that wanted to be happy. And alcohol, I drank it for the effects. If castor oil would have had the same effect on me as alcohol, hell, I'd have been a castaholic. It wouldn't have made a better difference. Just that way. Now, I'm not going to let you get into my life and ruin my life. No, sir. I'm going to love you whether you love me or not. And you can bet your boots on that. That's the way it is. I have one unalienable authority. A loving God as He expresses Himself in my conscience, me. The same loving God that I found back then in the third step. Same loving God. You know, this whole thing in Alcoholics Anonymous is based upon this loving God. The divine love of God. This attracted you the first time you was ever approached by Alcoholics Anonymous. The person that came up to see you was something about him or her that you knew that they meant every word that they said. It was something about them that attracted you. It was something about them that you knew that they wanted you to be part of what they are part of. And it seemed that whatever they wanted to do, it was just an unlimited thing that they wanted to give you. And you knew that it was nothing about you. That's the way I was. I knew it was nothing about me that would motivate this type of love or this type of feeling in another human being. I didn't know at that time that this was the divine love of God working in my life at that particular moment through another human being in this 12-step job. I came to AA because this man said, we need you. I came to AA because this man did not take my inventory. I came to AA because he didn't tell me about what a sorry so-and-so I was. Why didn't I drink like a man? Why did I do this? Why didn't I do that? He didn't try to take away from me the rights and the privileges to do whatever I wanted to do. And whatever I wanted to do, he didn't condemn me for it. He showed me that he had loved me because love is tolerance and love is patience and love is understanding. He loved me. It's the divine love of God. The divine love of God is spontaneous, it's unlimited, and it's unmotivated. And this is what we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the ultimate authority that I have. And he's taught me that I am not a governor. Only thing I do is I'm a servant. I'm a servant to you. This is my responsibility to serve you, to whatever I know about this program is to transmit it to you where you can have what I have received in this program. Tell you about my mistakes where if you want to handle yours by through my trial and error, well, you can do it. And to tell you where I found my answers. That's me being a servant to you. I came to get, but I hope I can say to give. And I've never seen a servant yet that was a boss. I never have. The only requirement for AA is a membership. AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. The only thing I have to do to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous is have a desire to stop drinking every day of my life. That's it. It's not about anything else. I don't get all confused about these outside issues, these things that we bring into Alcoholics Anonymous as human beings. It's not necessary. I don't care about she-wolves or he-wolves or Little Red Riding Hood or none of that stuff. I'm not interested in it. That's their damn business. If they want that kind of stuff, that's all right. I don't care whether they take pills or not. That's their business. I don't care whether they smoke grass or not. That's their business. That's an outside issue as far as Alcoholics Anonymous is concerned. We are interested in one thing and one thing only. You can't drink pills or you can't drink grass. And it says right here, it says the only requirement is the desire to stop drinking. That's it. I don't get confused about all this stuff. If somebody comes in my group and starts talking about pills and all that stuff, I say, you're out of place. You ain't got no business here, buddy. I said, we're for one thing and one thing only. We got a one single mind. If you've got a drinking problem, we are here to help you, period. If you don't have a drinking problem, there's other places. There's 202 fellowships using the program of Alcoholics Anonymous helping other people. Now, we've been very generous with this program. 202. It's one, the newest one is called Prostitute Anonymous. And their slogan is, don't take that first buck. See, we've got to be single of mind. We know this. We can't be everything to everything. If you read the history of AA, if you read the history of Washingtonians, you can see why this is absolutely 100% necessary. We have nothing against these other people. We are just single of mind. That's all. One purpose. Stop drinking. That's all. I should always be autonomous, except in matters affecting the AA as a whole. I've got a doctor's degree in negative thinking. I can out-lie, out-cheat, out-steal any so-called normal person. Hell, I know how. I made a living that way for years. I know right from wrong. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've got to make a decision every day of my life on this little simple piece of philosophy. Anything just about right is wrong. Anything just about right is wrong. And that's the way it is. Now, if you want to hear the hounds of heaven bark in the morning, all you have to do is to do something wrong. And your conscience is going to get after you. Well, you see, you're the one who's going to pay the penalty, no one else. And you know right from wrong, or you wouldn't become a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because you come to AA because you know that you are wrong. Or you wouldn't want to be a member. I never saw a person in my life want to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. But here we are. And so therefore we know. And so we have to be autonomous. We have to make our own decision. We have to stand on our own 2 feet and for the first time in our lives meet our own responsibilities toward ourselves, to be honest with ourselves for the first time in our lives, regardless of what other people do. Don't be led by the nose just because at that particular time it's a little convenient and it will help you in a social activity or something like that. You're only hurting yourself when you do it. I'm going to drop down to 7. AA groups ought to be fully self-supported in declining outside contributions. You say, well, what's that got to do with being happy? That's got everything in the world to being happy. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have to support AA because I am a member of AA. And AA is supported by its membership only. We decline all outside contributions. And so, therefore, who is left to support it but you and I as members? And if you're not supporting it, and if I'm not supporting it, we are not meeting our responsibilities as individuals. Does anybody disagree with that? I don't. You know, I used to sit by men in there when I first come in AA, and I had a resentment that I let be reborn every meeting night. Because I just like to, you know, he just aggravated the hell out of me. And so he would sit there and wait till the meeting was over and he'd start passing the basket, and he'd wait till the basket got to him, and he'd reach in his pocket and put the basket on his lap, and he'd snap this little old pocketbook open, and you could hear it all over the room. And he'd reach in there and run his finger around in it and come out with a Texas half. That's a dime. Drop it in there. And I'd say, that tight son of a bitch. If he don't put but a dime in there, I ain't going to put nothing. Now, I didn't put nothing either. Now, who was I hurting? I was hurting me because I wasn't meeting my responsibility. You see, you and I have the most perfect program known to man. Did you know that? When Bill left us, he left us a perfect program. He didn't leave a stone unturned. He gave us the 12 steps. He gave us the 12 traditions. He gave us the third legacy, and he gave us the 12 concepts. In other words, that is recovery, unity, and service, and the perpetuation of Alcoholics Anonymous as long as there's human life. So what else could you ask a man? And these things belong to you and I as members, and they are mine and yours as long as you and I support Alcoholics Anonymous. There is no strings attached as long as you and I meet our responsibilities. I don't say give till it hurts. I say give till it feels good. You know what I'm talking about. That's all there is to it. Well, I'm going back to one more, and then I'm going to let y'all people go. I'm going to go back to 5. It says each group ought to have one primary purpose: to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I've been sober 35 years, and I still suffer from the disease of alcoholism every day of my life. I'm here tonight to take my medicine for my disease. What about you? Are you here tonight for your disease, Charlie? Everybody? You've been sober 25, 30. Everybody here, I hope, they take medicine for that disease. Getting the prescription filled. I don't know about the doctor, but the prescription is good. Well, if this be true, then, it's my responsibility every time I see you is to carry the message to you. It's my responsibility to 12-step you every time I see you. And it's your responsibility to 12-step me every time you see me. How about that? To carry the message to each other. There's no stronger thing in the world than love. Love. L-O-V-E. And when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, well, love to me was a physical thing. It's not that anymore. It's a spiritual thing. I love you just because you're you, and I want you to have the best of everything. I want to transmit things to you, my experiences, and hope with you that this program works. And I want you to be sober 35 years. And you might say, well, that's a braggadocious thing. No. I go to these conventions all over the world, and they let people stand up, and it's very few people ever stand up. A few people. Once in a while, you get a 35-year-old man to stand up. And after that, we just peter out about that long. You know, we just wear out. But this program, you can, if you put it to practice within yourself. If you take and hold the total package, recovery, unity, and service. It works if you work. It will not work unless you work. It's an inside job for every human being. That's in a memo of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here is the key. Number one, pardon me, cease, is the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Here's where you find the program. Remember, it says no human being can relieve you of your alcoholism, so you've got to go to where you find out what will. And this book tells you in the prefix that this was written by 100 men and women, and this is precisely, not suggested, but precisely how they recovered. So this ain't no bunch of malarkey. This is the truth. This is 45 years old, and alcoholics have never changed it, so you know it's got to be right. Are we to change it? Alcoholics Anonymous. AA comes of age. This is a history of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know why your children study American history in school? Because they want to teach your children to love their country. The more that they know about the history of their country, the more they love it. Well, I can tell you, the more that you know about AA, the more you'll love it. And I strongly suggest AA comes of age. Read it and digest it and become part of it. This was written 17 years after Bill had written a big book, his interpretation of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And it's extremely good. And the last but not least is as Bill sees it. This is Bill's writings and inserts of his letters and so forth. And this is strictly AA. You know, I want to say this one thing in closing. In going all over the country, every once in a while, a person will come up to me and says, Wesley, I'm losing my program. I don't know what the trouble is. And I said, well, let's go and have a cup of coffee. So we go in and get a cup of coffee. And they tell me what a great thing they're doing. But they said, we are attending meetings. We're going here. We're going there. We're talking AA. We're doing all of that. But it's just something happening to our program. And I said, well, what are you reading? Oh, we are reading these good books. Sermon on the Mount, Emmett Fox, a lot of these self-improvement books they got today, and this one, A Little Yellow Spot on the Wall by Hu Flung Dung, and all this thing, and they go on for 30 minutes telling me what wonderful books they're reading. And I said, well, it's funny you haven't said anything about the big book. Oh, well, we haven't read that in the last 3 or 4 years, the last time we've read through that. I says, well, when did you become a normal person? When did you jump from an alcoholic to a non-alcoholic? They says, what do you mean? I says, well, the stuff you've been reading is for non-alcoholics, not for alcoholics. I says, there's not but 4 books for alcoholics. And I point out these 4 books. And I said, if you get into these books, maybe you'll get back with your program. And I have never seen one that failed. This program works if we work. Thank you.
Agree. These two people brought us the best, the whole program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Let's give them one more good hand. I, for myself, on behalf of the Tuesday night group, certainly appreciate Wes and C's coming back. I don't know. You think we should invite them back again next year? Let's all see. Right. They're pretty heavy eaters, but we'll do it anyway. Wes, I would like for you to announce your big book seminar. I don't know. You think we should...